This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Gee, Wally, Albert Mohler's out of town, so what are we going to talk about today? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're going to talk about the suburbs.
It looked to be an interesting afternoon on Wisteria Lane.
It sure is an interesting afternoon in all kinds of neighborhoods all over the United States of America. But there's a new book that is saying that the suburbs are actually killing our souls. And we're going to be talking to the author of this book, Death by Suburb, How to Keep the Suburbs from Killing Your Soul, by David Goetz. And what he's arguing is that it is very difficult to be a Christian and to live in this kind of a fast-paced world. And you know, who can disagree with that? The question is, what do you do about it? I mean, I live in a suburban neighborhood right now, didn't grow up in anything like that. I grew up in a very rural community, and now I'm living in a place where right across the street, my neighbors are preparing for the annual Christmas in July party. So I have to explain to my children, well, yeah, this is why they've got holly and Christmas lights up, and this is why it's going to be really loud and noisy in a week or so. And you look around and you have more and more Americans who are commuting far away from their little neighborhoods to their offices, and you have schedules that are so backed up with T-ball and soccer and any number of activities in the neighborhood, along with houses that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and SUVs that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and megachurches that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we have to ask, how can we be good Americans living this kind of a life and still live out a life of faith that's consistent with the New Testament? What I'd like to know from you is, how do you keep this kind of contemporary world with this kind of hurry and this kind of covetousness? How do you keep that from choking out your faith in Jesus Christ? How can you live a countercultural Christian life in suburban America or urban America, in just plastic America these days? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm really interested in how you are able to maintain the kind of hurried pace of 21st century life and still have time to be a man or a woman of prayer. How do you still maintain walking according to the Spirit, being conformed to the image of Christ? How do you do that without letting all of these concerns and activities just choke that out of you? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Before we do, some news today. The television images of what's going on in Lebanon are absolutely riveting. Israel is, of course, attacking Lebanon or raining down fire on Hezbollah, and there is just increased conflict going on. You have to step back and say, whatever the outcome will be here, it is going to be very, very difficult, especially when you have a Middle East situation that is a tinderbox already. And of course, today, foreign leaders have been coming down on different sides of this issue, but not many people are standing with Israel on this, as expected, especially coming out of Europe. Also today, three leaders, including the two most prominent members of an interfaith committee that was set up to distribute money to churches affected by Hurricane Katrina, have resigned. Bill Gray, used to be a congressman, used to be head of the NAACP, resigned, as did Bishop T.D. Jakes of Texas, who is, of course, a popular Christian author and speaker. Both of them resigned because they're saying that the funds are not being distributed the way that they were designed to be distributed, and they're saying that some churches may be receiving money who don't deserve it as much as other churches. Also, President Bush, great image on the front of the London Daily Mail today, up on the internet, of President Bush picking up a baby in Germany who is screaming. And so you have President Bush holding, I wish for a moment, not generally, but just for a moment, this were television so I could show you this picture of President Bush holding up this screaming baby while he's making a kind of screaming looking face himself. I guess Vladimir Putin would tell him he should have kissed the baby on the stomach, and that would make him calm down. Also, in Berlin, also keeping with the German theme, a postal worker was caught with several thousand undelivered letters in his basement and says he was just overwhelmed with the job. I don't know about you, but it reminds me of a Seinfeld episode from several years ago. Postal workers getting overwhelmed often is not a very good thing, but there are a lot of people overwhelmed. Overwhelmed just with life and responsibilities, and many of them are Christians who are trying to live in the suburbs, to live fast-paced, hurried lives that maybe their parents and grandparents never knew. Maybe you're in that situation. How do you keep that from destroying or eating up your Christian faith? I have on the line a man by the name of Dave Goetz, who was editor for some time of Leadership Journal. He lives in Wheaton, Illinois, which is a suburb, probably the most evangelical Christian suburb in all of the world, suburb of Chicago. And he has written this book called Death by Suburb that is really very fascinating, where he really examines and looks at the idea that living a suburban life, if you let it, can really choke your soul, can destroy your faith. Dave Goetz, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much.
I really was fascinated to read your book, and one of the things that you argue is that it is difficult to be a Christian living a suburban life. Why?
Well, I think, let me just say that the deep assumption of the book is that it is very difficult to live the suburban life in the suburban or exurban environment. But yet, most of us are not going to be either moving to the rural or moving to Cambodia. Most of us are going to be here. So the book is really about a second half of life spirituality. For those of us who are here, how do we figure it out and live a life that is called by God, that has a sense of mission by God, and yet is different from the first half of life? So what makes it so toxic, and in the book I identify eight toxins and then eight countering disciplines to help counter the toxins. And so the eight toxins, what makes them so pernicious is that they are invisible mostly. For example, the toxin that I call, I want my neighbor's life. That's like the second or third toxin in the book. And it's good old fashioned covetousness, but it's almost much more than that because it's very subtle. And there's this kind of assumption that we're going to get that next house, you know, the next level up. We might have the three-bedroom ranch, and then we're going to get the four-bedroom, two-floor house after that. Or we have a certain kind of van, and we want to get the Toyota Sienna or whatever it is. However, whatever the elevator is for us in our lives. So these are very toxic, and if we do not implement these spiritual disciplines, we end up living a very unreflective life, and a life that's not really called and has a real sense of mission to it.
I was really interested, Dave, in your talking about covetousness, because I think this is really a besetting sin in contemporary Christianity that we just don't think about very much these days, especially in conservative Protestant Christianity. And you mentioned an anecdote of someone saying that he goes to his church, his mega church, and he covets more on Sunday morning than any other day in the week.
Yeah, that's a fascinating I have the image of the man who said that to me in my mind. And this is a person who's very well educated, has a PhD, in fact, and works at a nonprofit organization. And he makes a good living. But, you know, in this environment where we live in the southwestern suburbs of Chicago, housing is very high. And yet the suburb is an older suburb. So you have smaller ranch homes right next to $2 million homes. And so, in addition, you're going to a church in which you have, you know, normal cars that people drive, and then you have the huge SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the environment is this environment which is highly competitive, and there's so much wealth. And if you're somebody who has a hard time with money or feel like you don't have enough, it becomes very toxic to your soul because you think you ought to have that. And usually the problem, let me just say this, is not with the people who have the money.
Mm-hmm.
That would be externalizing the problem.
Sure.
The problem is always with you.
Yeah.
And that's why a true biblical spirituality moves from they are the problem, the culture is the problem, to I am the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book identifies these eight toxins and then counters with these disciplines to help us move through it.
Don't you think that churches actually contribute to this, though, Dave, by almost assuming that everybody is upper middle class? That's kind of the picture that we give even in sermon illustrations. Everyone is an upper middle class, upwardly mobile couple, and we just don't think about people who are really struggling.
Well, you know, that is a fascinating, fascinating insight. I think churches do this unwittingly. Of course, nobody intends to do this. But I was talking to our pastor the other day, and we were talking about, well, who is the key types of people that we'd love to have come to our church? And when you scrape it all down to the bottom, at the end of the day, we want, couples with 2.5 kids with large SUVs and, that are 38 years old. And you were thinking, what happens to the people, the single people, those who are struggling, those who are minorities? I think you're absolutely right.
What do you think? How do you live a middle-class American life and keep your faith? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893. What are some challenges you faced in living a holy life in middle America? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and there are a lot of you in a hurry today. Some of you are rushing home right now while you're listening to this, going back from your job, and you're trying to get home in time to take the kids to ball practice or to go to the community neighborhood association group just to make sure you feed everybody and get everybody to their activities and then go to bed. The thing I want to know is, how in this kind of a fast-paced life can you keep yourself a godly man or a godly woman? How can you be the kind of Christian the New Testament talks about who displays the fruits of the Spirit when you are running in this kind of a rat race? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe some of you who have some good suggestions as to how churches can particularly reach people who are just kind of caught in this suburban an exurban box. They're living these lives of quiet desperation because they are just so tired. They don't even know what to do next, and it's hard to know how to be a godly man or a godly woman when you're trying to reach the top rung of the ladder. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. How can we project a better way in a different way? And I have with me on the line Dave Goetz, who is the author of Death by Suburb. I want to tell you how resonant this issue is, Dave. Actually, I had two friends of mine here looking for your book today to get for me to read, who went into Barnes & Noble's, and they were calling around. And as they were calling, every time they would mention the name of the book, the person would laugh and say, "Is that really the name of the book? I really need to read that." So I think you have all kinds of people who just understand, even with the title, there's something wrong in suburbia these days. Do you think that, Dave, when you think about this issue of being caught in suburbia, one of the issues you mention is hurry and about how we're so hurried. And one of the things you mention is the fact that we don't have any concept of Sabbath anymore, especially in American evangelical Christianity. How do you think that churches can recover the idea of rest?
Well, I think your comments are just really insightful as it relates to the church, because I think, at least in my community, the church in its programming, I think, is modeled after the Park District.
Mm.
And I use that as an example because my kids are now on a swim team, and one of the rules are, if you have kids on swim team, that means you have to serve in one of the events at three meets, plus you have to attend the conference meet and also serve either as a timer or as a runner or as the ribbon judge or whatever it is. And so I don't really volunteer for this. I'm like required to do it because my kids are involved in it. And I see much of suburban programming, church programming, is like that. There's all these programs, and what they do is they simply kind of add to the things that I have to check off on the list that I need to do. So I think we have this kind of complicated spirituality that happens within our churches, and we probably send mixed messages. I think the deep idea of the book is there's two major things you need to worry about in terms of the deeper life for living in the suburbs, and one is finding time for solitude, and the other is finding time for service with people who are different than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that needs to be done in the context of a Christian community. In fact, on my website, www.deathbysuburb.net, I actually have the study guides, free study guides, for each of the eight toxins. And so I really recommend that this needs to be read in community, because it's one of those things that I don't think you can do alone.
Well, now, you mentioned in the book, and I think you're right about this, you mentioned in the book about how often the way that suburban Christians think about the church, it's more like casual sex than like a marriage relationship, because people just simply move from one church to the other on the basis of the kinds of programs that are there. So the church actually becomes almost like Disney World, advertising, come and plug in, and we have all of these things that we can do for you and for your children. And as you say, that just contributes to the rat race Christianity.
You know, my house got egged the other day, and I was hoping it wasn't because of my book about that chapter, you know, on, I call it Lashed Down, which is the chapter on church. But I think church attendance, at least in my community, which is a very religious community, is like casual sex in that it's brief, it's not meaningful, and it's a short period of time. People move from one church to the other, whatever the hot, worship service is. We now have a church in our community that is doing an emergent style, and so people are rushing to that, and it's just everybody's like, wow,
yeah,
you know, that really was meaningful. And what they're saying is that it's really different from what I'm experiencing currently.
Yeah.
And let's just face it, I mean, if you've been at a church for a while, then it's kind of boring. I mean, let's just face it, things are the same. But I think true spirituality, at least Christian spirituality, is being tied into a community over a long period of time. It's like marriage. And so you stay even when your feelings get hurt. You stay even when you're tired of the pastor's 40-minute sermons. You stay to see what God will do in your life and in that pokey little church. So it's a discipline that is counterintuitive, because we think that the deeper spiritual life is at that next church with the better preaching.
Yeah,
patently false.
And I think that that is something that is part of the new reality of the way most Americans live, because in rural communities, usually, if you're a Baptist, there's one Baptist church. If you're a Methodist, there's one Methodist church.
Absolutely.
And you really can't get up and leave. But that's not the case if you live in American suburbs. You can go anywhere you want to based on whatever they have.
Exactly. And I think it's just like if you take your kids to a violin teacher, if you go to the best violin teacher, even if it's two or three suburbs over, you cart your son or daughter to that next suburb to get to the great violin teacher. And the same is true for, church. You know, if you feel like there's better preaching or there's better programs, you cart your family over two or three suburbs to get to that church. And so you have to wonder long term, does this really deepen our relationship with God? My guess is that, well, typically, if you read down through church history, all the great people who've written on the spiritual life have said the same thing. We are often not aware of what we need spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know what we need, but we really don't. And God obviously authors the different things that come into our life, and we think we might need something when, in fact, maybe what we need to do is to stay, even if it means conflict with a certain church, and learn what it means to be in community with people that we disagree with. And I think, so the spiritual discipline is counterintuitive in a culture of options, in a culture of efficiency, in a culture of I'm in control of my life, so I'm going to do as I please. I think the discipline of church, the discipline of staying put, is a good discipline to see what God will do in our lives.
Well, that's right. Many American evangelicals, I'm afraid, have a view of the church as Pottery Barn. We see it as a place
Absolutely.
Where we go and receive what we need. And that's why churches even advertise. The church alive is worth the drive. It's almost, leave where you are and come and join where we are.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Dave Goetz. I really appreciate your insight into this. And I'd like to ask our listeners, what do you think? Dave Goetz has written a book called Death by Suburb, How to Keep the Suburbs from Killing Your Soul. What I'd like to know from you is, how do you think that our churches can reach that mom who's on the road right now in the minivan on her way to take her kids to another T-ball practice, And she's got to get home in time to get supper ready and to get everything together for the night, because tomorrow there's a whole other list of activities. How do you reach that dad who's driving home right now from his job? He's got an hour commute ahead of him, and he's already thinking as he's driving, he's looking at his BlackBerry to see who's emailed him about what kind of crisis. How does a church take that kind of a man and that kind of a woman and show them what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be in community? How can we do that? How can we keep the suburbs, how can we keep busyness from killing us? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. That's what Guns N' Roses is looking for. That's what a lot of Americans think that they have found in the suburbs and in their middle-class American jobs running the rat race. What I want to know from you is, how as a Christian can you live that way? How can you have this kind of a hurried kind of a life and still find time to pray, to fast, to live in community in the church? How can you do that? How have you found in your life that you're able to do it? Or maybe you're not. And maybe you say, I find myself running all the time and I can't pray. I understand that. One of the things that I actually found myself doing one time was putting on my Microsoft Outlook task list, pray. And I realized that is a bad situation to be in when I'm having to put as a task to pray. That means that some priorities are out of order. How do you keep your priorities in order? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. And how do you think churches can particularly design their outreach ministries to try to get at that problem? Maybe even in the preaching of the church, in the discipleship of the church. How do you do that? How do you even get at that problem and address it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. We have Jared, who is calling from Cranston, Rhode Island, listening on XM Radio. Jared, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
I'm glad to. What's your thought today?
You know, I am that dad. I'm literally driving home on my hour commute, and I have my BlackBerry in my hand, looking at emails while I drive. And, you know, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and recently, due to some developments in not only the local church I was involved in, but the larger Episcopal Church as a whole, you know, I'm really struggling with it. And I've got two small kids at home. I want to raise them up in the church, but, you know, I'm living in the suburbs. I've got 15 different denominations around me kind of throwing their flyers and bazaars at me, and, you know, none of it's really getting, like, the spiritual core of, like, you know, what the different churches are, and how do you know where to go?
Well, that's a good question, Jared. I think what you need to do is to, first of all, make sure you know what you believe and what you want your family to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what you believe that God's revealed in Scripture, and find a church that's going to preach that and teach that and hold one another accountable for that. So I think what you need to do is to go to a church and listen to what's coming from the pulpit, listen to what's being sung by the congregation, and see how the people love one another. I mean, I think that's what the Bible reveals, is you've got to have correct preaching and teaching. And so if you've got a guy who's going to preach and teach the Bible, maybe you don't agree with him on everything, maybe you don't necessarily like the way that he does it, but you know he's faithful to Scripture, and you're in a congregation that you can see by the way that they sing, that they love the Lord, and you also have a community that loves one another. You don't need to be looking for Mount Zion. You don't need to be looking for some utopia. You need to be looking for real live people who are going to fuss and fight sometimes, who are going to be mad at one another sometimes, and yet they love one another. Look around for that kind of a church and find it, and put yourself in accountability to that church in covenant. And I think you'll find that that is the only way that God has designed to make us holy. What about you? How do you find yourself making time to be a Christian in this kind of a fast-paced American life? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you say, these are some things I found that actually have helped me to keep the suburbs and keep the rat race from killing my soul. 877-893-8255, and I'll be glad to take your call. We have Patrick, who is calling from Palm Harbor, Florida, listening on WTBN. Patrick, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I felt that we find other things to put in our task schedule, and we put them in there because they're important things that have to be done.
Yeah.
And why not prayer? I know that the Lord reminds us to pray. He doesn't expect that we're just going to know to do it, but he reminds us many times through his word that we should pray.
Yeah.
And so if it's important enough, I think it should be added to your task schedule and or whatever system you have of making sure it gets done.
Well, that's a good point, Patrick. And maybe it is that adding it to the tasks list is a good thing to remind you to pray. It seems, though, to me, it indicated to me that something was wrong, that I was putting, along with return email and signed paperwork, that I was reminding myself to pray to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It was reminding me that my priorities were a little bit askew. It ought to be that my prayer life is so natural, the kind of the Abba Father cry, it ought to be so natural as I'm walking with the Spirit that I don't see it as a task. I think that's what kind of worried me, is I had it listed there as a task. What about you? How do you find time to pray, to practice the spiritual disciplines, to be a godly Christian when you're running day and night to swim meet practice, when you're running day and night to go to another meeting? Maybe you're even in a church where you're constantly running to make all of the programs of the church. How do you still find time to be a godly Christian and to live in a church as a Christian? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. There are a lot of you out there who have built some pretty nice houses, and you've got some yards that are perfectly manicured, and yet you're tired, you're miserable, and you don't really know what it would mean to look like what the New Testament describes as a disciple of Christ, as someone who is conformed to the image of Christ. You're so busy making sure that you live the suburban American dream that you don't have time to pray. You don't have time to really know the people in your church. You don't have time to share the gospel because you don't have time to get to know people well enough to share the gospel with them. How do you correct that? And how can churches specifically design their ministries to create men and women who can live this kind of fast-paced American life and still be New Testament godly Christians? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and tell me how you do it. And actually, I think the problem is usually that people don't even know that they're living this kind of a life. I mean, if you have ever found yourself checking your BlackBerry while you're disciplining a child, you're too busy. Don't ask me how I know. That is fast-paced, and that's the way almost everyone is living right now in certain parts of this country. I want to know, how can you still be a Christian? How can you live that kind of a life without losing your soul? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Bryant on the line. Bryant, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello, Dr. Moore.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, here's my comment. I would almost go almost pretty radical and say that it's almost impossible to continue living the pace that we do and still maintain a close relationship with God the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that our churches need to focus more on the spiritual disciplines, which we've already been talked about, but more importantly, carve out time for our congregation members to get away from the busy lifestyle and teach them what it's like to be in solitude. Teach them exactly how to pray and focus on prayer rather than pulling out your BlackBerry. We almost need to take a radical position and get people away from the busy lifestyle so they can experience it.
So you're thinking about things like retreats and that kind of activity?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because part of the busyness, like has already been said, is we're constantly looking at our schedule. What church programs do we need to get our children to this week?
Yeah, yeah.
Which Sunday school program do we need to prepare for this week? Perhaps we need to simplify and teach people in our churches how to be simple rather than complicated.
You know, I have seen some church calendars, and I travel all over the place preaching in churches all over the country, and I've looked at some church calendars and some church bulletins that make me tired just looking at them. I look at them and say, oh, I want to just turn and start reading in my Bible just to kind of cool down from looking at the kind of schedule some of these people are expecting their people to live. I don't know, Brian. I don't know if retreats are the way to go, because usually what happens in these retreats is that you have kind of a reaction to the rat race, and so it becomes almost this kind of new age sense of solitude, almost a monastic sense. We're getting away, and I'm going to be in the quietness of my own soul. And I really don't think that solitude is the answer for most people. I think for most people, the answer is getting to know the people within their churches and just having a different view of reality. I think the covetousness that Dave talked about earlier, I don't agree with him on everything, but I think he's exactly right about that. That part of the problem is we don't preach and teach about covetousness, about seeing all of life as being about acquisition, and that's exactly what Jesus warns us about over and over and over again, that a man's life does not consist in his many possessions. So how do you get people to see that? How do you cause yourself to see it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you run the race set before us, as the Bible said, while you're running the rat race of contemporary American suburbia and corporate life? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Scott on the line, who is listening on WTBN in Clearwater, Florida. Scott, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hey, Dr. Russell. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad to.
I really think that you really have to institute a Bible study in your life and really have a, as we walk through our life, you can't help but spiritually discern how much the world has a pull on you and your life and your family and your job. Even the good things that God has given you to enjoy, you still have to have a balance, and there's nothing wrong to getting away from that. But I myself, during the day at work, every day at 12:30, I'm in my Bible study, listen to WTBN in my 20-minute Bible study every day. I have a men's group every month. We meet and get around those like-minded people that will strengthen you, support you, that, you know what, you're going through the same things. It's tough to go through those things, but if you really, truly desire to walk with Christ, you're going to make time to do that. And like God's Word says, you have to discipline the body. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you just really have to plan it out the way you plan out almost anything else.
Yeah, you really do. And I tell you what, after and I've been down the road too, where you haven't been in God's Word, you will know in your character if you need to get back in God's Word, and you'll get right back into on a regular schedule, because the flesh is that strong. We know about the lures of the world, just in the workplace, how you can easily be distracted. And to have victory and have strength over those things, you've got to spend time in God's Word and prioritize those things.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott. The only thing I would say is I think that saying that, we have to be clear that we're not talking about individual quiet time. I think a lot of people bank so much on an individual quiet time, they really think that they're going to become godly if they have that time to pray and to read the Bible. And the Bible tells us that's important, but that's not it. We are conformed to the image of Christ through the body of Christ, through the church. And one of the things we have to make sure of is the fact that we're grounded in a church where the people know us. They know if we're not there on Sunday morning, and we have certain people in our lives who are able to say, hey, man, you're too busy. You're sitting in church reading your BlackBerry during a prayer. you need to pull away and try to, in some way, get yourself reprioritized. How do you do that in your life? How do you make sure that you're living a Christian life and walking a Christian life, Christian walk, while you're running an American rat race? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the two-story house that a lot of Americans have been trying to get. Now they have it, and now they're looking for a three-story house. They're trying to run the rat race. They're trying to make it up that corporate ladder, and they're finding it very difficult to be Christians. At least when they read the New Testament, if they're really honest, they find themselves often too busy to live a life like a disciple. Now, I admit I'm a hypocrite. During the break, our producer, Mike Pullman, mentioned to me over the microphone, Dr. Moore, are you looking at a BlackBerry? And yes, I was. You might call it multitasking, or you might call it just being too busy. What about you? We have Sean on the line who is calling from Louisiana. Sean, I am glad to have you on the program listening on XM Radio. What's your thought today?
Well, I wanted to echo what David had said earlier. I think mission or serving other people who are different from us is so important. I personally never felt better about or more energized about my prayer life and giving thanks to God and being in community with my fellow Christians than after I've gone and served people who are so different from me.
Yeah. And Sean, I think that the issue there is making sure that it's not some type of almost a colonial, we're helping those people attitude. Instead, it's making sure that we understand that being in part of the body of Christ means that we depend upon one another. And the guy who's living in the multi-million dollar house in suburbia needs the guy who's living in the trailer park.
And right? it's a matter of humility, too, is to realize that, you know, it's not for the grace of God that we are able to have those things that we sometimes put ahead of our families in the, you know, those things that we think that are so important, they're really not, and they get in the way, and it's a humbling experience, and I think humility is an important part of coming back to Christ.
Good word. I think one of the things we need to recognize is, and Dave Getz, I don't agree with a lot of the things he said in this book. I think he kind of buys into the suburban lifestyle a little bit too much. But one of the things I think he does point out is we just don't think about what it means to be covetous anymore as Christians. Jesus says that's something that can choke out your faith. So let's make sure today that we look around, compare ourselves with Scripture, and say, what's really important here? It's being conformed to the image of Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow with the issues that matter on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.